Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Thursday, August 15th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Demand for data center technicians is booming as more information is stored on the cloud. We'll tell you about the people taking up these roles and why the positions can be so attractive. Then, an Australian billionaire is suing Facebook parent Meta. He's claiming the company's artificial intelligence-powered ad systems helped create and spread scams using his likeness. We'll tell you why this case could threaten tech immunity protections. But first, companies like Microsoft and Google are pouring billions of dollars into data centers to power everything from AI chatbots to the trillions of photos and emails stored in the cloud. That's driving demand for data center technicians. They're part of a growing industry that offers six-figure salaries to workers without college degrees. Here to tell us more is our reporter, Tipeng Chen. So what does a data center technician do?
The tasks really can run the gamut. At a basic level, depending on what track you're on, you might be charged with doing things like swapping out components with servers, taking care of the racks. On the other side, you also might work on monitoring and maintaining the heating and cooling systems.
And what's the salary range for these roles?
If you look at the data, it's around a median of $75,000 a year. It really can vary depending on the market and also with seniority. But after a few years on the job, making six figures is absolutely something that is doable. If you look at the data on salaries for these kinds of roles, they've actually jumped about 43% in the last 3 years. All that data on pay is from CompTIA, which provides certification and training for workers in that industry as well as other tech-adjacent ones.
What kind of backgrounds are data center technicians coming from?
There are a lot of ways that people find their way into these kinds of careers. One is, you know, if you've already worked in IT, that's an easy pivot. Some folk do come in from the skilled trades, folk who already have that handiness and some of that technical know-how too, and just working and manipulating some tools. There are also folks who come fresh from high school and programs at the community college level, other kinds of certifications that can allow for a foot in the door. And also plenty of high school grads who might come in and just get trained up too, because there is a lot of demand for these workers. And so in many cases, employers are willing and able to train folk up.
And where are these jobs mainly based?
There are absolutely hubs for these sorts of jobs in the U.S. Northern Virginia would be one that really dominates. But unlike a lot of tech jobs, they are scattered around the country, often in places that maybe aren't that populated, that have access to cheaper electricity, that have a lower cost of living. And so they really can be found in many communities across the U.S.
So tell us about some of the people you spoke to who have taken up these jobs and how they got into it.
I spoke to one worker who came as actually a former postal service worker. He had been working for his local post office, frustrated, having trouble paying the bills, and found out about these kinds of jobs, made the pivot, got a certification, and now has a job working for Amazon that pays him very well and has completely changed his life. I spoke to someone who had previously worked in an ice cream factory before becoming a data technician for Google, which now pays him six figures. There really is a spectrum. But one thing that a lot of the workers I spoke to said is that these kinds of jobs, look, they can be very hard jobs. You have to be able to work sometimes in windowless rooms for long periods of time. You have to be maybe up and down a ladder a lot of the days, swapping out components. But they do offer not only good pay, but also a lot of good advancement opportunity. I was struck at the number of workers I spoke to who had just been on the job for a couple years and had already gotten one or maybe even two promotions in that time.
All right, that was our reporter, Tipeng Chen. Coming up, scams on social media aren't new, but a lawsuit from an Australian mining executive claims Meta's AI ad tools have enabled scammers. We'll explain after the break.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
A federal lawsuit against Facebook parent Meta could break through broad immunity protections afforded to technology companies that host user-generated content. Andrew Forrest, an Australian billionaire and mining executive, alleges that Meta's AI-powered ad systems helped create and amplify false ads that use his likeness to promote fraudulent investment schemes. Here to tell us more is our reporter Alex Perry. Alex, when did Forrest first approach Meta about this issue, and what was the company's response?
Around March of 2014, members of his private security team flagged these fake profiles that were showing up on Facebook. And that first point of contact was that year. And when he reached out to Facebook, he says that their response was that they told him to create an official profile. Facebook told him to do that so they would have a real account to compare the fake ones against and just to report the fake accounts against that. He did that, and the fake profiles kept coming. Then in March 2019, he has a direct letter sent to a Facebook executive who is essentially part of operations of Facebook within Australia. And he's reaching out because his security team has flagged another issue, which is these crypto scam ads that are using his likeness to draw in regular users. And essentially, the response that the executive gave him is that fake ads are not allowed and we'll look into it. And he ends this letter saying that he'd be happy to open a direct line of communication with Forrest. And it's unclear whether that direct line of communication was established, but according to Forrest, it wasn't effective.
You write in your story about a mission control style room that Forrest set up. Can you describe that for us and what its purpose is?
Yeah, so Forrest calls this his cyber monitoring room. It's basically this room in an undisclosed location somewhere in Perth. So if you think of, you know, NASA, for example, these movies where people are sitting in a room where there are just giant monitors, they're scrolling through different platforms. He's hired cybersecurity experts to essentially man this room 24/7, scouring Meta platforms, so Facebook, Instagram, for these scam ads and scam profiles. And what he has them do is report each of them to Facebook. So far, he's spent $10 million running the cyber monitoring team, and he first built it in 2019.
How pervasive are scams like this on social media generally?
So they're pretty common. Forrest isn't the only person to deal with this issue. If you're thinking about some American financiers who've dealt with it, there's Bill Ackman and Kathy Wood. They've both complained about having this issue in the past, especially with Facebook. And both of them have taken the first step that Forrest was initially told to take, which is create the official profile. If you see a fake one, just report it against that. But so far, none of them have sunk as much money as Forrest has into this fight or even gotten as far in the legal system with it.
Fraudulent celebrity ads have proliferated on social media in recent years, but you know the platforms themselves are typically protected under something known as Section 230, which roughly says the platforms aren't responsible for what their users post. So what's different about Forrest's case?
So what's different about this case is actually AI-related, believe it or not. Facebook quite recently launched these AI tools within their ad managers on Facebook that allow people who want to put ads on the platform to essentially give the platform one copy of the ad, and then it'll create 10, 20, 100 different versions of the ad. And part of Forrest's complaint is actually that these AI tools within the ad manager have enabled these scammers to scam more people or create mass fake ads at a rate or scale that they hadn't before.
Last month, a federal judge rejected Meta's efforts to dismiss the suit. The company has appealed that decision. Has Meta commented further on this?
No, Meta hasn't responded to any requests for comment.
What about Forrest and his lawyers? What have they said about the case?
So Forrest and his lawyers are very optimistic about the case, seeing that the judge, in rejecting Meta's appeal, is taking it seriously as a Section 230 case.
And the legal experts that you've spoken to, what have they said about Forrest's chances at winning?
So I've talked to legal experts on pretty much both sides of it who think he has a chance, or some lawyers who think he has maybe not as good of a chance as his team thinks. What they have compared it to actually is this 2009 case that Google faced, where they were sued because of ads on their platform, essentially also scam ads or scam ringtones. And the judge in that case said that Google wasn't liable for that because they were just displaying the ads. They weren't creating it. So the person suing Google had to establish Google's involvement or in creating or developing the words used in the ads. So that specific phrase there is essentially what Forrest's team is trying to latch onto and prove, that because Facebook's AI manager can take one ad and make 10 versions of it, they have more of an involvement in, quote unquote, creating or developing the words used in the ads, more so than just, you know, taking an ad from a third party and publishing it.
So, Alex, what comes next in this case between Forrest and Meta?
Meta has actually filed an appeal. Right now, the next step in the case is simply having this appeal heard on August 22nd.
All right, that was our reporter, Alex Perry. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.